Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, as always, on Mondays, my good friend, Michele Vera. Michele, what is up?
Well, first of all, yesterday I witnessed the most incredible sport moment of my entire life. I mean, basket is the sport to which I dedicate the most time. But when I was a kid, I used to watch Maurice Greene and other great sprinters. And yesterday, like to be able to watch Marcel Lamont Jacobs winning the gold medal.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know, it's something that an Italian guy cannot even think when he's young. I mean, yeah. So it was a... off topic. So
unbelievable.
We can stick to basketball now.
Take your time. This is your time.
I was screaming like a three-year-old kid, like at the TV. It was insane. So
I love it. It's so fun.
Yeah. Tomorrow, my brother will run. So it's
what time?
I think it's 5:10 OKC time in the morning.
A.M. 5:10.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And then if he qualifies, he will be on the 5th. I think early morning, but a little bit later.
Tell everybody his name again, and everybody tune in. What'd you say?
It's
5:10 Central Time.
Yes. Yes. He will be in the 5th heat, and he's Paolo, P-A-O-L-O, Dalmolin, so D-A-L-M-O-L-I-N.
And go watch it, guys.
Yeah.
We'll be rooting with you. It's awesome.
Yeah, I will. I took a day off.
Good for
just
you
to be there.
I love it. Michele, the draft came and went.
Wow.
We've spoken, but we haven't spoken that much about it. It's been a busy time, and now we have some space from the draft to kind of think about it a little bit more and discuss the draft picks of Josh Giddey, Trey Mann, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, and Aaron Wiggins. Four players that I don't think we would have predicted would be on the Thunder today. Mm-hmm. Four players that aren't elite athletes. Maybe Aaron Wiggins, maybe the best of them. Mm-hmm. But four guys that fit what the Thunder are trying to build. So, you know, whenever there were these mock drafts that had like Keon and Jalen Johnson going to the Thunder, or the mock drafts that had, you know, Kuminga, Keon, and Jalen Johnson, you're kind of like, oh my goodness. Like, one, do these guys actually have intel, you know, on what's going on with the Thunder? And then two, it makes you just wonder, are the Thunder building what I thought they were building? You know, because this draft helps set the course for where they're going. You know, last draft, you know, they had later picks, they traded up to 17, they picked at 32. Cool, that's great. Those aren't like franchise shaking. Like, this is the first draft We have to remember that too. Like, this is draft number one in the rebuild. Last year wasn't it. This is it. This is draft number one. And so if you're impatient at draft number one, you might need to check your fandom a little bit. Because this team is going to take its time. When I'm talking draft number one, I mean there will be more drafts where they are drafting in the lottery with almost some certainty. And they set the course for where this team is headed when they selected Josh Giddey at six. When you think about the remaining players in the draft and who they could have taken, Jonathan Kuminga is at the top of that list. Jonathan Kuminga does not fit the current Thunder culture whatsoever. Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to learn how to play in a system. Jonathan Kuminga is going to have to learn how to fit in. If you watched him at the G League Ignite, it was your turn, my turn. It was, okay, now Jonathan Kuminga is going to do his thing. And then you don't, and then you see him not compete on the other end. And so there's a lot of work to do with Kuminga. Franz Wagner maybe is a guy that probably does fit what OKC is trying to do, but not a ball handler, really. James Bouknight too, who is like, that was like the guy. Like, I think the jersey I saw the most when I woke up on draft day, when I flipped on Twitter, was James Bouknight in a Thunder jersey, and that just didn't happen. And it's the lack of passing. Like, I almost promise you that. And we talked about it so much that the lack of passing was like a real thing with him. So sorry, I've been going on a tangent, but I just feel just like I have so many things to say.
No, it's all good. And I think that there is a legit chance that they tried to get both Giddey and Bouknight, because I think that if they drafted Trey Mann, I think they were high on Bouknight as well for the exact same reasons. Like, he is an elite shot creator for himself from the dribble, and so maybe they really tried to make a deal with Charlotte, for what we know, or with Sacramento. And I mean, maybe they didn't offer three first-round picks, mainly because their evaluation of Bouknight against Trey Mann is not more than one extra first-round pick. And if that is your evaluation, you have to go with it. I mean, like, it's not that you have to waste those picks. You have to get value for those picks. And again, if you think that Bouknight is the next, I promise you, if Presti has superstar grades on Bouknight, I don't believe that he's not on the Thunder today. Like, he would have offered like four first round picks if that is what it takes to trade up. And to me, what the pick of Trey Mann says is, we want a shot creator, we want an elite pull up shooter, and we got one. And we got one with our pick without spending anything, because we had him maybe 10th on our board. Is that a mistake? It's our process, and we believe that. So I really believe that what they did is just evaluating every single possibility to trade up, and in the end, they just evaluated Giddey more than Bouknight, which is something that I personally like. I mean, I half jokingly said during the draft, let's go wild and pick Giddey instead of Bouknight, because to me, that is way more interesting to me. It's way more modern basketball, modern version of the Thunder. He's an elite passer. If you watch NBL and you watch LaMelo Ball last year or Giddey, the kind of passes that Giddey is able to throw are not that different from the one that LaMelo was doing. And also the efficiency, the three-point shooting. It's just that everyone kind of trusted LaMelo to be this crazy good scorer because they saw him doing at a high school level. Now, Giddey is not the same, but if you look at the numbers, it's not that he was less efficient than LaMelo, less pass-happy than LaMelo, less rebounding-happy than LaMelo. So, who knows? I mean, I think that there is superstar potential in Giddey. Is that the likeliest outcome? No. The likeliest outcome is probably something a little bit better than Tomas Satoransky with, again, a little bit more IQ in terms of passing and maybe a little bit more scoring, which is a pretty good player.
And a player that's 6'9", that I can play more
positions.
That's
why I picked Sato as a comp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, I mean, that's probably like even a low end outcome, you know, with him, because a lot of guys that struggle in the league is because the pace of play is is so high and the thought process is so high that they just can't stay on the court. Now, with these smart players like this, and him being as young as he is, I think that he's going to figure it out. Like, I'd be very surprised. I don't think he has very high bust potential. You look at Kuminga again. Like, Kuminga's got, like, real bust potential because there's lots of doubts whether he can process the game at the NBA level and if he can defend at the NBA level. You know, there's a lot of question marks there with him. And, you know, I don't think you have the same questions with Giddey. Like, Giddey is, I think he'll play. Whether or not he becomes a star, an all-star, whatever, like, that is up for debate. That is certainly questionable. Mm-hmm. Because he's got to figure out the shot. Like, that's, to me, that's the number one thing. And then what position is he? He's probably on the wing, and the Thunder will definitely say this phrase, and you're going to hear this. Well, what is he? Is he a point guard? Is he a shooting guard?
Is he a basketball He's a basketball player.
He's just a basketball player. Okay, cool. Great. Thank you. Thanks. That helps
a lot.
Thank
you, Sam. that's enlightening.
That helps me tremendously. But he will play he'll play really well with Shea and Dort and with Poku, because I think they're all going to be able to just swing the ball and move and find gaps. And, you know, but the thing that they need him to do in order to play off of Shea is be able to hit a catch and shoot three. Like, that's got to be something that they're prioritizing with him, because he really was the primary creator for the 36ers in the last season that he played with them. And he was their point guard. There was really nobody else. And part of that was, like, out of necessity. And now we get to kind of see what he is. Because the Thunder have a lot of guards that can handle the ball, including, like, Trey Mann will come in. And if he does get to play, I have questions about that. But if he does get to play, like, they're going to put the ball in his hands if he's going to play, because that's where he's going to be most successful. So it seems to me that Giddey would be more of a secondary creator. And now, with him, with Poku, with even Dort, and even Bazley, you've got lots of secondary creators out there. You have lots of options on what you can do, especially when you're running the court. Like, everybody can grab and go, which I think is a really important thing and something that the Thunder really have emphasized with this next group, is that everybody needs to grab and go. We're going to play fast. We're going to have guys that can make quick decisions. I think they drafted players that make quick decisions and that know what they're going to do with the basketball. Like, there's no, you know, Andre Robertson was notorious for the record scratch, you know, when the ball hit his hands in the half court or even on the break at times. Not going to be the case with this team. And Josh Giddey is a reason for that. I think that, to me, I think he plays right away. He's been playing professionally with grown men, with guys that have played in the NBA. I would start him. Like, this would be my starting lineup. I would start SGA, Dort, Giddey, Poku, fill in the blank. You know, I don't know if Favors stays. I don't know if Faves is staying around. If Favors stays, start him. You know, if it is Isaiah Roby, like, start Isaiah Roby.
No.
It doesn't really matter. What do you mean, no? What do you mean, no? Why?
No. Just
start Bazley?
Yes. Yes,
start,
please. No, Bazley. Bazley's fine.
Start JRE?
Start Jeremiah Robinson. Earl.
Yeah. Jeremiah Robinson. Earl.
Earl.
Yeah, I think they should consider him,
too. Earl will never be even said. It will just be Jeremiah Robinson. And we will forget about the Earl. Because Alexander is long, so you can say Shea Gilgeous Alexander, and it makes sense. Yeah. When you say Jeremiah Robinson, you are already done. So
yeah.
I think that the Earl will be there.
You have to ask him about that. We'll get to him in a second. Let's talk Trey Mann for a minute.
Yeah.
At 18, it was a bit of a shocker. Oh, we can talk about 16, too. The Thunder traded...
Oh, yes, let's talk about that. It's the most...
16th pick for two picks. One is a 2023 first-rounder from the Washington Wizards. This came from the Westbrook-John Wall trade. So the protections on this pick are 1 through 14 in 2023, so lottery protected, 1 through 12 in 24, 1 through 10 in 25, and 1 through 8 in 26. So, essentially, either the Wizards are horrid, and they don't see a pick that it conveys and turns into second-round picks, mm-hmm. or it conveys. I would guess, one, with the way that Bradley Beal has been so insistent on being a part of this franchise, and maybe that changes by 23, maybe it doesn't, who knows? But if he insists and he gets an extension from them and he stays, I could very well convey in 2023.
Which is great.
Yeah. So that's, and I just, there were so many people in my mentions draft night just saying these are fake picks.
Like, no, that's not
look
right.
Look again. These aren't fake picks. Even if you just got one of these to convey, then you're in the money. Let's take a look at the other one. A 2022 first-round pick from Detroit. Detroit's first-round pick to Houston protected for the selections. This is a pick traded to Houston, but now it's OKC's. 1 through 16 in 2022. Unlikely to convey. The Detroit Pistons will probably not be in the playoffs in 2022. Fine. 1 through 18 in 2023. 1 through 18 in 24. 1 through 13 in 2025.
Who knows?
That could very well convey that year. And then 1 through 11 in 2026. 1 through 9 in 2027. The Thunder are going to get one of those picks, most likely. Yeah. Because if Cade Cunningham is everything everybody believes him to be, then the Thunder got two real first-round picks. They are going to, I believe they are very likely to convey. So you basically get another shot at 16 twice, right?
Yeah, exactly. In the future. And to me, you don't have to be caught in the moment of saying, well, we could have had Şengün or Murphy. Yeah, that's true. But you have to assume that, yes, the in-the-moment value of something, it's really important. If you don't have money when you need them, then it's you're broke. But if you think about, like, OKC has all the time to think in perspective. Think about knowing on draft night, and I tweeted as much like 2 hours ago because I was bored. Think about the trade Kemba Walker for two protected first-round picks. Wow. Who would have said, wow, Presti is a genius. He's really a genius. This is a test. Like two picks for a guy that you can probably flip for another one in 2 months? Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, because OKC was there and because someone told you that Şengün will be the best player in the draft, now this is not, it's not a good trade anymore. No, it's not how it works. I mean, of course, Şengün has the possibility to be an all-star. But to me, the easiest path for Şengün to be an all-star is to be Vucevic 2.0, maybe a little bit better. And again, I don't like that player. I mean, there are teams that, I mean, to me, the trade that Orlando did with Chicago is, it's an amazing trade for Orlando.
Brilliant.
Like two picks for that guy that will never, ever help you winning. Mm-hmm. He's in the league since, I don't know, 10 years, 8 years. He doesn't correlate to winning.
Yeah. Dwight, like the original Dwight Howard trade, I think he was finishing his rookie season. Like he's been in the league for forever. You know, and he's only been in the first round, hasn't gotten out. And then when he got to Chicago, everybody thought, oh, great, Chicago's making the playoffs now. Nope. No. Eighth pick. Eight.
Yeah. You have to play defense, and Şengün maybe will. But to me, like maybe, and again, like, go at me when he will average 20 and 10 in his rookie season and he will be the best player in the NBA. That's how these things go. But to me, like being mad because OKC didn't draft Şengün, don't worry about that. Just don't sweat on that. To me, if you want to question, and I'm up for it because I really believe that that is a question to be had, like, why didn't they why don't take Trey Murphy? That is a player that I really like. And to me, the fit is so seamless. But if they want a pull-up shooter, then Trey Murphy is not a pull-up shooter. And if they were high on Book Knight and Mann and maybe Bones because of that, then okay. It's just a different player. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that those particular scoring, like non-passing, score first, little defense
Trey Mann can
guys.
Pass. Four assists per game.
No, I'm not talking about Trey Mann. I'm talking about the other like scores in the draft, like more ball dominant scores. Yeah, I think it was good value. I just think it's the outrageous value to get two picks for the 16th pick. To trade two picks, get two picks in return for the 16th pick, that just never, ever, ever happens. And like, make no mistake, like I said at the beginning of the pod, I'm going to say it again. Like, this is draft number one. They went into the draft with three picks in the first round, came out with two players, and then came out of the draft with three first round picks, including the Derek Favors, the trade for Derek Favors. That's unbelievable. They left the draft and have the exact same amount of first-round picks as they did going into it.
That's insane.
Like who does that? And you get Josh Giddey. You get to see what Trey Mann is. Like, that's... it's an unbelievable job that they did. Now, I've been giving this, like, a grade of, like, a B or B-minus just because they didn't, you know, get Evan Mobley, or they didn't get Cade Cunningham, or they didn't get Jalen Suggs. Like, that's that's where I can't be like, they knocked it out of the park, A plus. Like, I don't think so. I think, and Alex has been saying this in our text group, like, this is a relatively normal draft outside of this, and I don't think it is that just because of the 16th pick and what the value they're able to extract there. That's abnormal. I think most teams, if we're going to be honest, don't have the discipline to even take that deal, because they want to win the press conference. OKC wins the press conference easy if they just take Şengün. Because there was so much momentum because of the, like, the John Hollinger at The Athletic was so big on him. And you just heard so much about him. Kevin Pelton had him number one on his board. Like, there was just so much, like, analytical momentum moving towards Şengün that you just take him at 16, you take Trey Mann at 18, you take Giddey. It's like, whoa. Like, I think then, like, people would be like, wow, this is A plus for the Thunder. Wow, great job. But because they were disciplined enough to take what is outrageously tremendous value in those two picks instead of taking the player. And if you go back and look at every single draft at pick 16, the odds that that player will turn into a really good player is about 4%.
Yeah.
So are you going to take the 4% chance that Şengün will turn into the guy that everybody thinks he will be, that Kevin Pelton's computer machine thinks he will be? Or are you going to take the 96% and two first-round picks? And the Thunder were disciplined enough to say, we're going to bet on the 96%, and we are going to take two first-round picks that, because of the way they're protected, will likely convey. At least one of them is for sure to convey. And the other one, I think both of them will eventually convey. It's not like they both end in 2024 and that's it. Like, they go out far into the future. And let's say you're the Thunder, and by the time that 2025 or 2026 rolls around, you're really good. Like, you have a good team by then. And you still have first round picks coming your way. If, let's say they didn't trade it, because most likely, they're going to trade these picks, and they're going to use them to extract value elsewhere. But let's say they do have them. Like, how valuable is getting, like, the 13th or 14th pick whenever you are a, like, top five or top six team in the league? Like, that's tremendously valuable to get a guy either to come in to your team and develop him along with the good team that you have, or to trade it to go get a player that can help you now. Like, those are tremendous tools down the road. And it's hard to see it. It's so hard to see it today, because people are like, well, when are we finally going to trade these picks?
Yeah,
when is it
exactly,
finally going
to
happen?
That is the sentiment. But, fans are starting to be allergic to picks.
Yeah.
And it's fine. I mean, it's almost like restarting all over again when you trade for a first round pick. It's not that. Don't think about that in this way. I mean, they have a very good young core that may very well be already the core that will win for OKC. I mean, no one is saying this today, but I mean, imagine Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming to OKC. Mm-hmm. Everybody said, well, good player, not a star. Mm-hmm. And then after two seasons, whoa, that he could be a top 20 guy in the league. Like, if one between Theo Maledon, Darius Bazley, very unlikely, both of them, or Gidi mm-hmm. or Pokuševski become top 20 players in the league, this team is ready to compete. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a given that this version of OKC will likely win in the 30s, like high 20s, low 30s next season. But the path to be a very good team may be shorter than what we think. Mm-hmm. And maybe mm-hmm. it's they have bad luck, and so they are in the lottery again, and maybe they will draft Chet, and there you have it, your starting five, with Chet as the five. Can you imagine? Or Paolo Banchero.
I definitely can. I can imagine it.
Yeah, or you draft Paolo Banchero, which is a very good wing that will play for Italy in the national team, so maybe that is also good news. And they will be a very good team anyway. So as you said, I mean, those picks one day will be the next year draft, and teams will start to look at them and say, wow, they can give me two picks, two protected picks in next year draft. And those will be valuable, like extremely valuable. And then we will jump maybe in a couple of minutes into free agency. I don't think that they are done. I mean, they will get another first round pick, maybe two, by in the next 72 hours, because we all know that the major part of the deals will be in the next 72 hours. Yeah, and I fully expect them to at least snag one for maybe the Andre Jordan type of guy, or maybe mm-hmm. two, by rerouting Kemba and maybe getting some distress asset along the way. Like, and yeah, they will use those.
Also, we have to think about it this way too. Let's say the Thunder are ready in 2025 or 2024, and they're like, okay, great, we have our team, we have our stars, we have some guys to put around them, or we just have a really high-level team, and there is a star that wants out, and there's a team that's wanting assets and they want to start over. Mm-hmm. Thunder can say, great, we have six first-round picks for whoever it is. Maybe RJ Barrett is so tired of the Knicks, and he's a very good player in the future, and he's a guy that would we feel like he can fit right in here. RJ Barrett is not necessarily the guy that I'm really thinking of, but just stick with me.
Think about Zion.
Zion or Jaren Jackson, or it doesn't matter. Pick a star. Pick any star. Michael Porter Jr. I don't care who. Young star, somebody that's going to blossom over the next few years, and maybe they're not in the situation that they love. The Thunder will still be in position then to take on, to trade for and take on a player that is very good down the road and add them into the team. It'd be like adding, if Kevin decided to stay, the Thunder still had enough assets there and it had enough young players that they developed and had the Sabonis and the Oladipo pieces. They could have just traded for Paul George and put him on that team, So... Oh, Hoopsoft69, chill out with the Jaren Jackson cop. I'm just saying, just stick with me. I don't care who the player is. Pick your player, Hoopsoft69.
Imagine that today is 2025 and Philadelphia is asking today at least four first round pick. OKC can laugh at that and say, I have six, but I'll give you four just because you ask at least four. They have the power to say so.
Yeah.
And I read so many comments during the draft, even from some of your colleagues at The Athletic, but the price will be higher for OKC than anyone else. No, believe that. Rich people don't pay more for commodities or things that we normally buy. They buy cereals at the same price.
The picks are worth the same.
Exactly. At a certain point, if Presti says, I the value is one, and they asking me two, but yeah, let's give him two. No, he will never do that. Why would you?
Yeah, he wouldn't. And if if Sam Hinkie would have stayed with the Sixers, Sam Hinkie's not giving up just gobs of first round picks just to get where he wants. That was what Elton Brand's job was. That's what Brian Colangelo's job was, right? They came in, didn't have a firm grasp of what the plan was to begin with, and then just said, oh, I've got all this stuff. And they just spent it all, right?
Yeah.
And it was
just Tobias Harris, which is a very good player, but not the best player to put around. I mean, like, Joe Harris is a better fit for what Philadelphia is doing today.
Definitely.
There are many players. Yeah, Michael Brogdon would be, and like, if you have the picks and you can trade for Brogdon instead of Joe instead of Tobias Harris, I mean, you probably solve a lot of your problems. So, I mean, if you have the asset in your very good, like almost a machine in terms of how you calculate value, then nobody will. There will never be the chance where you pay more just because you have more.
Yeah.
It's if you pay more, it's because you think that the other part of the deal is misevaluating something that you want.
Exactly. Say
that the value for you is 7 and the consensus value is 3 and you give 4. Oh, see, he overpaid. No, he didn't. It's you that it's your evaluation that is different than mine. And either side can be wrong. That's the point. But it's not overpaying.
Yeah, totally agree.
Like Josh Giddey is not overdrafting. Like, you overdraft if you have different possibilities, which I don't think they were there, and you pick the one that just because, I mean, let's be sure and pick him there. No, that is not what you do. I mean, there were reports of Golden State wanting him. Yeah. Like, there were reports of, I don't remember which team, wanting Trey Mann. Like, the Knicks a few picks later. So this is not overdrafting. Is getting what you want at the place that you need.
Yeah, it definitely felt on draft night like an overdraft because of the mock drafts that were being put out there. I felt like the NBA teams did better than they have in a long time of not letting all the reporters and all the guys that do these mock drafts know what they were going to do. You know, and that screwed with the mock drafts. That's why the mock drafts were a lot more inaccurate after you got past the 5th pick. Because no one really telegraphed. There was nobody telegraphing that Josh Primo was going to go at 12. Like, nobody thought that. Everybody felt like that was a giant reach. But had they had the information,
that
two
was
weeks
the guy
before,
for OKC. I'm almost sure it was.
I think so too. I think that was the guy at 16 for OKC that they felt like they could let go of 16 because of him. He fits the mold too, like age-wise. Very, very good shooter. Lots of runway. Lots of ways that he can improve. Had the mock drafters had the information 2 weeks before that Josh Primo was going to go 12 and they mocked him at 12, people aren't surprised. But we didn't know what San Antonio's board looks like. We don't know what OKC's board looks like. No. We don't know what anybody else's board looks like. And because the draft didn't look like, you know, ESPN's board or the Athletic's board or Bleacher Report, it doesn't mean the value isn't there. It felt like that, but you know, as I've been saying, and I've said it for weeks leading up to the draft, like every single year the draft order is wrong.
Yes,
like every single year, and it will be wrong again. Like, this will be wrong again. Maybe OKC's picks are wrong. Like, that's certainly possible.
Yes, they are wrong because Josh Giddey will be the consensus number 2 pick in 2 years.
That's it. I'm also fairly convinced that if OKC was able to trade up to 4, they probably would have taken Scottie Barnes. Because you look at the type of player that they wanted to take. I'm fairly convinced that that's what they would have done.
No Suggs?
I don't know. Suggs must have had some brutal workouts, man. Because from what I saw at Gonzaga to what I saw draft night made zero sense.
Yeah,
zero. I didn't get it. To me, he was my second favorite player in the draft. Watched all of them. I watched a ton of like the top 5 guys. A ton. And I was very close to putting him number 1. Like dangerously close to putting him number 1.
Yeah.
And there must have been some disconnect with his workouts or his interviews or something, because him falling all the way to the Magic just made absolutely no sense to me. I just didn't really get it. Especially Like, I like Barnes just fine. I worry about his scoring. I don't worry about Giddey's scoring as much. I don't worry about Giddey's offensive game as much as I do Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes will be a better defender. He's a better athlete. He's got better reach. He's got all those things. So maybe that's, I mean, that's certainly why Toronto favored him over a guy like Josh Giddey. But Giddey is like the next like evolution of that kind of player, like 6'9", can dribble, can pass, can play multiple positions, will play multiple positions in the NBA. So, yeah, it's just, I mean, to me, it's really interesting. Let's take a break. And after we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the other three players the Thunder selected. We're going to talk about Shea's potential extension, which could be done as soon as tonight. We're going to talk Spencer Dinwiddie, Markkanen, Devontae Graham. What's going on here? And then Russell Westbrook called Kawhi Leonard? What? We'll be right back after this quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back after that quick break. Mekele, let's discuss Trey Mann for just a minute. Number one reason the Thunder took him is the pull-up three. Like, that's what I would say. That why did the Thunder take Trey Mann? The pull-up three. It is probably the best pull-up three. Yeah, probably the best pull-up three in the draft, I would say.
Together and, with Cade.
Sure. Yeah, and also his size, too. He's 6'5". Like, this is not a small guard. I know that a lot of people just associate the name Trey with a small guard, but he's 6'5". Like, he legit could probably play some two at the NBA level if he can bulk up. Like, offensively, he certainly can. Defensively, like, the dude won't guard twos, maybe probably won't even guard ones.
And he's
the pull-up three is the bread and butter for him.
And this is something that he mentioned in his interview, like in his introductory press conference. I mean, that he has to be stronger. He knows that. I think he will be a guy that will just make crazy shots. And this is something that I mean, he will make Lillard/Curry shots from day one. Not with the same consistency, not with the same effectiveness, because he's Trey Mann and not Steph Curry nor Damian Lillard. But the guy can shot from 32 feet with ease. And those guys are needed in the league. The defense, in the end, will be what separates him from a microwave bench scorer, like someone in the chat said, or just a very, very good player. OKC is willing to bet on his work ethic and the fact that he really improved from year one to year two in college, which is something that you always have to take into consideration. Now that I say always the same things, but look for improvement. And he also improved physically from year one to year two because he grew a couple of inches. So maybe for the end of the summer, we'll be 6'6". So who knows? Maybe we can play some three. But again, that skill together with Lu Dort and Shea gives you extreme flexibility. Like, if you have Dort and Mann, then you have an offense anyway, even if Lu Dort is not crazy good at spacing the floor. He can space the floor for Giddey. So I really think that when you have a guy like that, that you can pass in the ball, he can just isolate and take a crazy three from the dribble. And granted, he didn't have the cleanest shot selection in the draft. He took pretty bad shots, and still he was able to hit 40% of his threes, which is like nonsensical. I mean, Book Knight had a bad shot selection, and he shot 30% from three. Like, man, yeah. And the reason why, and there were a question in the chat, so I'll end there. The question why Book Knight is a top 10 player and, well, 11th, and man is like in the 20s in terms of mock drafts and value, is because Book Knight is a completely different athlete, and he's way more long than Trey Mann in terms of wingspan, stuff like that. And that counts for NBA
stronger,
executives.
Much yeah. stronger too.
Yes, yes. The pull-up, if you just do a pull-up contest, I would probably pick Trey Mann. But overall, I mean, Book Knight is a far more complete prospect than Trey Mann. The passing, maybe a little bit in favor of Trey Mann.
Yeah, they're both not great, but mm-hmm. Trey Mann is certainly better than Book Knight. And yeah, I would agree. I mean, the profile, if all you want to look at is pull-up shooting, like, he'd go number one in the draft. I got fairly convinced of that. But there's just obviously so much more to it. And they're betting on that being good enough, and even the spot-up being good enough to where you can just throw him out there. And you can be even more versatile, because I think he can play next to guys. I think he can be somebody that's the primary handler and just go create. Now, there's a question of, like, is there going to be time on the court for him? I think that's a very, very real question. I think that he might play some with the Blue this year. I think that that's certainly possible. Now, he is a sophomore. He's 20 years old, and so you'd rather have him with the team. But perhaps he's not ready in terms of strength and conditioning. And so he might need some time with the Blue in order to get some of that and to just have some on-the-court time. I think the Thunder will have to use. The Thunder are going to have to use the Blue this year, which I think is good.
Yeah.
He can score. Mark Stein is reporting that the Cavs are prepared to offer a fifth-year, five-year, $100 million range to center Jared Allen. Golly.
What?
What a convoluted team. Yeah,
let me read. Oh, that is great. Let's pair him with Evan Mobley and be happy with that. While the rest of the league is going one direction, we go in our direction, which is
where we're going.
Tiny guard that play no defense, and two very tall guy that will never be able to space the court really together, plus a non-shooting three. Awesome. That is exactly what you should do.
Be right back in the lottery next year. We'll see you there again, Cavs. Sounds good. Bye. James Anderson says that he believes that he's a better prospect than Maledon, Jerome, any of those. Absolutely. Like, he went much higher in the draft, in a better draft than those guys. So I agree, he's a better prospect. Will he be ready to play? I mean, Tim Maledon put the most minutes on the Thunder last year. Like, he's going to play next year. Ty Jerome hit 42, almost 43% on volume last year. He's going to play. Now, can Trey Mann, like, he can get in there and he can show what he can do and be better than those guys? I think that's absolutely possible. I think it's absolutely possible. Would I bet on it? Not initially, but I think the hope is that within the next calendar year, that we're talking about Trey Mann as, like, the backup point guard or the backup guard, or even, like, pushing, like, oh my gosh, they got to give him more minutes kind of thing. That's certainly the hope, to give those guys some competition.
But you play five guards. Don't worry. I mean, OKC will play five, six guards. So
definitely.
So yeah, he'll be there. Giddey's not a guard.
Like, I don't think Giddey's a guard either.
No, I mean, Giddey is a guard, but it doesn't count in their guard rotations because he will be tasked to be probably a defender of threes and fours.
Yeah, he fills in the gaps wherever you need him, and will still be able to do his thing. But yeah, no, I agree. The thing is, like, this year is about development. It's not about winning basketball games. I think they'll win basketball games. I don't think I think they'll win, like, probably even more than what some think. Like, I think that they will have a surprising year. But that's not what this year is about. It's about development. And if it's about development, then Trey Mann's going to play some here and there. Like, he's just going to have to. And maybe you'll have times where Ty is sitting. And, you know, that's certainly, certainly possible. Let's talk about Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Gosh, Thunder, just don't you know, like, do Chris Fisher a favor and stop drafting guys and bringing guys in that have hyphenated last names. It's just not nice, really.
Yeah.
But I would say I was so impressed with all of these guys as just like young men and mm-hmm. the way that they carry themselves, the way they handle themselves.
It's because you're a dad.
I'll tell the story. Like, there is some of that is true. Some of that is absolutely true. But the way that they just spoke mm-hmm. on stage, they were just impressive. Like, I was just impressed with the whole group.
Yeah.
They all carried themselves very, very well. There's just something about JRE that is like, there's just something about him that you're just like, wow. Like, I really like that guy. There's something about him that I don't know. I think I'm really glad they, I don't know if he's going to be good at basketball or not, but I can tell you that this is a high quality human being that they brought in to the Thunder, and not to discount anybody else, but there was just something a little bit different about him. And so just peek behind the curtain on that press conference day, they had us park over at the Omni Hotel, which is right across the street from the arena. It's like a perfect location. This is where all the teams are going to stay. This is where players are going to stay. This is where all the players and their families are staying right now. So they had us park over there. And so, like, we spent some time just hanging out there while they were going to get our car. And the players came back in through the Omni as they're coming up. And so, like, I'm not, like, going to go up to those guys. Like, it's just awkward. Like, I just talked to them. But I just told my kids, like, hey, this is their name. Go up and say hello to them and see if you can take their picture. Here's one of them right now. Here's
what I built.
What did you build? Yes. That is super cool, dude. But they went up to each one of them, and JRE like got down on their level, like shook their hands, like wanted to know their names, like just like super nice people. And that to me, I think, and Sam Presti said that like they draft people over players. I think that that's true. I think that they did that. I saw evidence of it at the presser, and I saw evidence of it just the way that they treated people out in public. So I think that's cool. Does it mean they're going to be good basketball players? No, it doesn't. But does it help to build a team culture with guys that are like that? It definitely does. So I'm a fan of JRE. And then you watch his game and you're like, wow, like this is a really tough guy. Like he's going to be able to do a lot of different things on the court. The swing skill, the skill that is going to determine on whether he is going to be a long-term NBA player is going to be the three-point shooting. Can he hit a corner three, to me, is going to determine what kind of player and how long he's in the NBA. He profiles as a guy that I like really like, like almost like a little Grant Williams-y with like just like the sheer size and toughness and like going to be play multiple positions. But he could be a high level role player if he hits a corner three like Jay Crowder. You know,
what role does he play in your opinion?
I think he's to me, he's a four.
Wrong.
In the league? Or five?
Yes.
Is that what you think he is? I mean, he doesn't have the size of a five to like play full-time five.
He's 6'9".
But
6'9", 230.
I know. He's a big cat, but I'm just saying, like, he doesn't defend like the Joel Embiids and the Nikola Jokic's of the world.
Nor does Ibaka. And no one cares.
I know. I'm just saying, I like him quite a bit. He continues the trend of guys that we did not profile on Thunder After Dark, right? I think we should do a Thunder After Dark on him and do a deep dive on him at some point. But after not knowing who he is, really, I knew of him because he was like a top 40 guy on most people's draft boards. I didn't know him very well though. I don't hate what they did with him. He's not like this high, like crazy high upside swing, but I think that he could be a like fan favorite in that he is going to like do the dirty work I think he's going to be able to hit a corner three. I think that that's the bet the Thunder are making, is can he hit the corner three? Because if he can, then this is like the kind of role player that everybody's looking for. Like switchy, tough, defensive minded, sacrifice everything for the team. All those like cliches, like he is all of that in one package.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to me, when you are 6'9" and he can exploit a double team, a switch, like if a small guard switch into him, I think he can cook in the post. And he's a smart guy. You can tell that he knows where to be, what to do with the ball. He's not the guy that when you're passing the ball, it's going to pull out Robertson or something like that. I mean, he will be able to move it and or to take decisions. So I think that in the chat, like a lot of guys are saying, like he's a better shooter than most of the guys. Like he's going to be PJ Tucker. Yeah, I don't dislike that. I think that if the corner three is hit, as Andrew said, then there is a good chance that he can be your stretch five coming off the bench. Almost like Jeremy Grant in his second year with OKC, where he played the center and was faster than anyone. And defensively, when you play against second unit guys, like, maybe you will be, like, there will be guys that beat you. If you play against Vucevic, I will cook on you. If you play against, Embiid, Jokic, guess what? Half of the league will be in trouble. Even your started your Derek Favors. So, he is your Isaiah Roby, and like I wouldn't be surprised if Roby goes somewhere else and he plays every minute off the bench as a center, because he makes sense in a lineup with Poku, with Bazley. I mean, there's he's versatile enough. And to me, 6'9", 242, as James Henderson says, there is your center.
He's a big cat. I like him. I'm a big fan. Really like him. Aaron Wiggins selected at 55. He is going to be one of the two-way players for the Thunder, as reported by our guy Joe Masato. Big shout-out to Joe Masato. Just like a number one great guy, Joe Masato. Love that guy. Aaron Wiggins, it's a flyer, like, maybe the best athlete out of all these guys they've drafted. Mm-hmm. Plays on the wing, likes to take mid-range jumpers, likes to finish in transition. Yeah, likes to dunk it. Kind of a fun player. Will he work out? I have no idea. Like, here's your Josh Hall, right?
Yeah.
Here's like,
let's see.
So yeah, we'll see. We don't need to spend a lot of time on him. We can do a Thunder After Dark about him too, just to kind of profile the kind of player that he is. But let's move on to free agency, because this is a very exciting free agency, just because I think it's going to be a little unpredictable. There's no giant names I think will move. Kyle Lowry is probably the biggest one that I think will move. I do think the Thunder are going to put themselves out there as a facilitator of business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need $10 million in cap space?
Oh, we can help give you with that.
You know?
Come on, Brooklyn.
We can make all this happen.
Do you want to get rid of DeAndre Jordan? It will cost you 2028. Top 10 protected. Something like that.
We'll take it. Yes, we'll take it. We'll take that off your hands. Now, a lot of people have been like, oh, let's go get Lauri Markkanen. Let's trade for Devontae Graham. Let's make all these like sign and trade, or let's get a restricted free agent. I just would be very surprised if the Thunder actually got in the restricted free agent game. Now, perhaps, like, Zach Collins is not a restricted free agent anymore. No. Maybe the Thunder really like him. They really like guys from Gonzaga. Now, he's hurt. What does he get on the market? Probably something very, very little.
Yeah, less than Emily, I think.
Oh, it better be less than the mid-level exception. Like, it just has to be less than the MLE.
Maybe even less than the taxpayer MLE.
The mini. Yeah. Mm-mm. It better be. I mean, I wouldn't pay him 4 years, 20. Like, I don't know that I would
do
that. No,
but you don't have to go to that length. I think that something like 10 million, 12 million
for
3 years with the team option in the third, that is already good value for Collins. That he knows that his career is in jeopardy right now. So he has to take a deal like that.
And to be with a team that has, like, there's no pressure, Zach. Like, there's no pressure at all.
Yeah, come back when you want.
I can see it. I can see it there. I can see it there. Because if he comes back and can play at the level that people thought he could, or even the level that he did when he did play, like, that's a good player. Like, Zach Collins is a really nice center. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's your center of the future, that's cool.
If he stays healthy,
I wouldn't be betting
yes.
on anything like that. Yeah, if he's healthy, I wouldn't be betting on that. I mean, his everything about him has said that, like, it's probably not going to work out, which really stinks for him. Mm-hmm. So that kind of risk, sure. Going to pay Markkanen, like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I just have a hard time seeing it. I know he.
Where is that in your serial scale?
Oh man, I don't know. He's like Rice Krispies, but you really don't want Rice Krispies. You want something a little bit more sugary, and so you're having to go get the sugar and like sweeten it up. And it's like, is it really worth it for me to do that? Like, just like this pure sugar. Like, what am I doing? That's kind of how you feel.
Yeah, to me it doesn't make any sense. I know that the fit is okay. There is very little value on paying Markkanen. Well, if you pay him for 48, sure. I mean, it's a great deal. He will never sign for that. Chicago will never let him go for that amount. So they will basically re-sign him immediately.
Yeah, they would keep him. Why not?
Yeah, 12 minutes is okay. And so I don't really see the values. And I don't see the value in... If I don't see the value there, to me, the Graham thing is even worse. Like, why? Why are you doing that? Like, at least with Markkanen, you can give him space without having to... The only person that will suffer from his presence is probably Darius Bazley. Because he will take all the minutes. Yeah. But with Graham, I mean, it's already hard to play all the guys. And we didn't even mention Kemba Walker because we believe that he will not be there for training camp. But he's there. Right. He's very real. Yep. And if he's there, then he will play 25 plus. So to me, the Graham thing makes no sense. The Dinwiddie makes zero sense as well. But at least you get a pick, something like that. But to me, if you're Brooklyn, like just pay a pick to get rid of Jared Allen and find a trade that makes sense for Dinwiddie, because there will be someone. Yeah. I mean, to me, Washington is the perfect fit for Dinwiddie because he's tall. He can play very well with Bradley Beal. It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So 100%. why trading, like paying to get rid of Dinwiddie? I don't see that to being a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you just have to think of... I mean, the only lines I can draw to it are if OKC is able to get, in a sign-and-trade, a pick out of Brooklyn so that Brooklyn can create the... And Alex tweeted this out. Create the trade exception so that they can go get somebody else. But like, Brooklyn's like basically playing with funny money right now. Like, it's just insane. You get that asset, and then 3 months down the road, you can trade him again and get another first-round pick. It's just a lot of trouble to go to.
Yeah.
He's a floor raiser for those 3 months that he's on your team. Like, that's a floor raiser. Dinwiddie's good.
Yeah, he's
Dinwiddie
good.
Dinwiddie is legitimately if he's healthy, a good, he's good player. Yeah, and I think that I think he helps Washington a tremendous amount. I mean, I would say that Washington is like just as good or better if they get him. I didn't love the Westbrook deal for them because it feels like they just got like all of the Lakers spare parts. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, all right, what are we doing here? But if they get, and then they traded the pick that they got for Aaron Holiday, so like they need a guard desperately because the only guards they have on their team right now are Aaron Holiday and Russell Westbrook. Like, that's it. Or not Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, sorry.
Yeah.
Those are the only two guards that they have.
Yeah, that's...
If you bring in Dinwiddie, like that solves a huge problem for you, and you likely are trading like one of Kyle Kuzma or Davis Bertans or whoever it is to the Nets, and it like solves everybody's problems.
Yeah, I think that the deal that can make sense is something around the lines where Washington gets Dinwiddie, OKC gets Montrez, and Brooklyn gets 10 million in salary somehow. Maybe KCP, maybe Kuz. And I mean, to me, that makes perfect sense for everyone. Brooklyn will pay less in tax. OKC gets a player that will never touch base in OKC. And even if he does, I mean, he'll produce, and probably he's a guy that, I mean, I don't like the idea of having both Favors and him. But these are guys where you can say, look, we like you. elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So just just stay wherever, stay ready. We will make everything possible to reroute you wherever you want to go. And I think that for 9 million, there will be teams that maybe in as the first few months of the season go, they will look to Trez and say, well, we may need him because he can score off the bench and will be better. And it doesn't cost a fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, there are ways for the Thunder to get in on these free agent deals without it being, you know, directly taking on some guys.
Yeah.
And then Kemba, I mean, it's just interesting all these names that are popping up. Like the Kyle Lowry race has been kind of nuts to me, and I pointed this out last week with Alex on Wednesday, just that like Kemba's younger, he's, you know, he's not on a great contract. That's obviously like one of the bigger hangups. But if he were a free agent, like I think teams would be like really wanting him. I think there'd be teams lining up to get him.
Yeah.
And so you have to wonder, like Dallas has cleared all this cap space.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to get Kyle Lowry. It seems like Kyle Lowry's going to Miami. What are they going to do? Like what's their play with all this cap space? You know, the Thunder can try to work a deal to get Kemba there.
Yeah.
And that's certainly something. Same with New Orleans. New Orleans made that big trade before the draft, which I really like for them now because of what both teams did with their picks at 10 and at 17, getting Trey Murphy. Like, I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yes. I don't like the Zaire thing, but anyway.
The Zaire thing is weird.
Yeah.
I would be, dude. Talk about like Thunder fans being miffed. If you're a Grizzlies fan and you took on all that salary just so you could take Zaire Williams at 10.
To get the guy like, you can get at 17.
I would be losing it. I'd be absolutely losing it. but yeah, I think that there's a world where there are fits for Kemba around the league. And that just makes more sense for him to be gone. Especially with the draft that the Thunder had. But the amount of ball handlers that they have on the team, the system they want to play in, there's still a chance Kemba suits up for the Thunder and we get to see him play on the Paycom Arena floor, or Paycom Center floor, sorry.
Wow, Paycom. We'll never get used to that. But anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's still more likely that he gets traded into one of these spots, that Thunder are able to take back an asset and then just stare at Brad Stevens and giggle. You know,
yeah, and you don't even have to get an asset necessarily. I mean, they will probably get.
They definitely will.
They definitely will. Yes.
Yeah.
New York is a team that makes sense for Kemba. Dallas, we mentioned it. New Orleans, I think that there are better options. Now that I'm very curious to see where Dragic goes. That is a player which, definitely. If I'm Dallas, I would try to get him.
Oh, yeah.
And to
play, for sure.
Yeah, just play him and Luka, and he will probably reach a buyout agreement with Toronto. So
yeah, most likely. Sam Amick is reporting that teams like the Pelicans are pivoting from their Kyle Lowry search and are now focused on Reggie Jackson.
Yay, let's get Reggie, hoping that he will be as good as last year, but he won't, especially on a fat deal.
Yeah. The Knicks, Celtics, and Nuggets are also in the mix for Reggie Jackson.
The Celtics need a shot creator badly. They got Richardson, which is another wing that cannot really create to a high level.
I know.
He's going to be Marcus Smart, the guy that will create for you, I don't think. So this is another team where, like, had they not traded for Fournier, now they could have a TPE where you can slide in a guy like Dinwiddie, which makes so much sense for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. There's so much information about specifically the Oklahoma City Thunder out there with regards to free agency, like the Devontae Graham stuff. Like, listen, if the draft didn't teach you anything, let it have taught you this. Don't believe everything you read on Twitter about this team and about what Sam Presti wants to do and about what this team wants to do. literally no one had any of the picks right. Nobody had them right. Lee Ellis was the only one that had it right. So if you want to figure out what Sam Presti's doing, talk to Lee Ellis. Check Lee Ellis's timeline. Does Lee Ellis have anything on his timeline about it? Then don't believe it. Then you don't have to believe it, okay? There's so much misdirection going on with agents, with teams, with everybody else. Like, you think the Thunder were going to trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on draft night? That was never going to happen, guys.
Yeah.
Shai's going to sign an extension at midnight tonight, most likely.
Okay. I thought you were breaking news. And then you added most likely.
I'm not breaking news. I'm not breaking news. Yeah. That's just what's going to happen. They're going to offer him the full extension, right? Yeah. Like, that's what's going to happen, and he's likely going to sign it. Like, that's just probably what's going to happen. They weren't trading him on draft night.
No.
That was not going to happen. That was leaked by somebody else. And right now, somebody else is saying that the Thunder want to sign Devontae Graham. Why? Because Devontae Graham's agent wants him to have a giant fat contract. That's why. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Does Devontae Graham make sense on this team that has Kemba Walker that they still need to trade? Do we have to even talk about it? All right, we don't have to talk about it. No. We got to go. All right, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. Be sure to follow Mikele on Twitter at Mikey Berra. You can follow me on Twitter, Andrew K. Schlecht. Thanks to everybody that came to the draft party. It was incredible, like overwhelming, incredible. It was so much fun. Big shouts to Brett Dawson, John Hamm that were there too. That was super fun. Just an unbelievable event. Thanks to Fassler Hall and Lively Beer Works for helping us put that on. It was incredible. And we're going to do lots more events like that coming up. So hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.